Welcome, folks. Great to have you with us. A special welcome if you're here for the first time at London's Floating Church. Fantastic to be together. This is a special, special day. What is special about today? Any of the young ones tell me. It's an all-age service, which means everyone is in together. No Sunday school today. So some younger one tell me, what is special about today? What are we celebrating? Yes. The Queen's Jubilee. Very good. Queen's Jubilee. So we're celebrating that. How many years? You said 70 years of service as the Queen. You've got a book. You've got a Union Jack hat on. You guys are all in the spirit, which is absolutely fantastic. So here he is. Here she is. There we go. That's the Queen. And that's when she was a little bit younger. So it's the Queen's 70th Jubilee. And which metal is for the 70th Jubilee? Now, is it gold? Is it silver? Is it something else? Hold on, we'll come back to you in a minute if no one else is. What do you reckon? Which metal is for the 70th Jubilee? Tom?
Platinum.
Fantastic. Platinum for the 70th. Very rare, shiny, precious metal. Top of the tree of precious metals, platinum. Rarer than gold, heavier than gold, more valuable than gold. At the moment, gold costs more per ounce on metal markets due to supply and demand issues. We'll leave that for now. But anyway, 70 years on the throne. What an achievement. Here we go. Have you got that on your T-shirt? Pretty much, you guys. You're doing well on the front row here. So, today we celebrate that. We give thanks to God for the Queen. Now, not everyone here may be a fan of the monarchy. I get that. Some of you may be Republicans. You're not royalists. But today we leave all that on one side and we join in celebrating the Queen's 70 years. But the point of today is not just to give thanks for the Queen, but we want to give thanks for the King. The King, you think, what? Didn't know we had a King? Well, we do. King Jesus, he is the person right at the center of the Christian faith, and we want to celebrate him today as well. And so this Jubilee Sunday, we're going to do a compare and contrast. Have you ever done that at school? You compare and contrast something. We're going to compare and contrast Queen Elizabeth and King Jesus. Okay, how do they compare? Who do you reckon is the greater? That's what we're going to think about and explore in our time together. And to help us to do that, we're going to look at one verse in the Bible, which says this: "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." That's what we're going to learn about today. I hope you'll know this by the time you go home. I'll stay for bring and share lunch after the service today. The Son of Man, even the Son of Man, came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Well, let's pray as we begin. Lord God, we thank you for this Jubilee celebration. We thank you for the long life and service of Queen Elizabeth. And we pray for your ongoing blessing on her. And we pray that you might also help us to see the greatness of Jesus the King that you have appointed. Amen. Well, it's that King. We're going to stand and we're going to praise together now in song. Okay, so we're doing our compare and contrast of Queen Elizabeth and King Jesus. And to help us do that, we're looking at one verse in the Bible, which is on the screen, and it's also inside your service sheets. Jesus said, "Even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many." We're going to take it a phrase at a time. Firstly, for even the Son of Man. How do Jesus and Elizabeth compare when it comes to their titles? Their titles. Well, the Queen has some pretty impressive titles. Let me just read out her full title. Elizabeth II. By the grace of God, of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, and of her other realms and territories, Queen, Head of the Commonwealth, Defender of the Faith. Whew, okay, it's a bit of a mouthful. That's not bad, that's not bad. Other titles she has. Do you know any other titles the Queen has as well? She's also called Duke of Lancaster. Bizarre, don't ask me. Duke of Lancaster. Another title is Fount of Justice. And what other title does she have to do with this, Birdie? Yes? Say it loudly so we can all hear. Yes, brilliant. So she's called Seigneur of the Swans. You have to say that in a French accent. Seigneur of the Swans. Lord of the Swans. So back in medieval times, the crown declared that all unmarked swans in open waters belong to them, and the crown does an annual census of the swans on the Thames, and it's called swan upping. I mean, you couldn't make this up, could you? Anyway. Well, that's pretty hard to beat, isn't it? All those titles. How does King Jesus compare? Well, here in our verse, he calls himself what? What does Jesus call himself in this verse? Have a look at it. It's in the box on your sheets. Even the Son of Man. Jesus calls himself the Son of Man. You think, well, that doesn't sound very impressive, the Son of Man, compared to the Queen's titles. But there's a lot more to it than you might think. So we're going to have a reading now from Daniel chapter 7. It's on your sheets there in the Old Testament. This prophet Daniel, God gives him a vision. And in this vision, he sees a figure who is a Son of Man figure. So listen out there. Fiona here heads up our Women and Children's Ministry. She's going to read this passage to us. So listen very carefully.
I saw in the night visions, and behold, with the clouds of heaven, there came one like a Son of Man. And he came to the Ancient of Days and was presented before him. And to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, one that shall not be destroyed.
Wow. Okay, so the Son of Man is a big, big deal. Jesus saying he's the Son of Man. He's claiming that he is this person, this ruler appointed by God over everyone and everything forever. Let's take a closer look at this. Let's do a little comparison of the coronations. So the Queen came to the throne on what date? Any of the grown-ups maybe do this one. What date did she come to the throne and become Queen? What? Not 7th of June. 1952 is correct. February the 6th. Fantastic. February the 6th, 1952. But her coronation wasn't until 16 months later. Which makes it, what date? What date was she actually, the coronation? What date did that take place? 2nd of June, yes. 1953. Okay. After an appropriate period of mourning following the death of her father, King George VI. Right, now, where did it take place? Any of the young ones tell me, where did this coronation take place? Very special place. You guys are on fire. Is anyone else going to answer any questions? Any of the other young ones awake? Yes? Westminster Abbey is correct. The setting for every coronation since 1066. Now, what was she crowned with in Westminster Abbey? So the Archbishop of Canterbury, he placed on her head a particular crown. Does anyone know? Don't just say it's a crown. What crown was placed on her head? Yes. Brilliant. St. Edward's crown. Let me give you a picture. There it is, made in 1661. Solid gold. Solid gold, it's heavy. So that was the St. Edward's crown. Super, super heavy. How about Jesus then? We think, well, it's amazing stuff, this coronation of Queen Elizabeth. What about Jesus? What about his coronation? Well, before he was executed, what did the soldiers ram onto his head? Different type of crown, wasn't it? What type of crown did they put on his head? Crown of thorns. Crown of thorns rammed down onto his head, making fun of him. But his true coronation would follow. He'd be raised to life from the dead, returned to heaven, and then God the Father himself crowned him as the Son of Man. And he didn't do it in Westminster Abbey, he did it in heaven itself. That's what this vision in Daniel 7 is describing. It says he came to the Ancient of Days, and to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. How about the reigns of Elizabeth and Jesus? How do they compare? So the Queen, the longest reigning monarch in British history. She notched up her 70 years on February the 6th this year. So, 7 years longer than the second longest reigning monarch. Who was that? Queen Victoria. She reigned for 63 years. And it was a good deal longer than the shortest reign. Who had the shortest reign in British history? Lady Jane Grey ruled for how long? 9 days, the 9 days queen. So, the queen's reign, we say, was impressive. But the son of man reigns for how long? How long do you reckon? Have a look at the little passage there from Daniel. How long does the son of man reign for? It says his dominion, his reign is a what? Everlasting dominion, which won't pass away. So Jesus reigns forever and forever. So King Jesus, he wins that one. How far do these reigns extend? Let's think about that. Well, the queen is the head of state of how many countries? 15 countries in the Commonwealth, including the UK. And then there's a whole load of other Commonwealth countries in which the queen is head of state. We won't go through them all. And then various overseas territories. All very impressive. How about Jesus? Well, look on the sheet. What does it say? It says, to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. Okay, so his rule extends over everyone, the whole world. Let's just think lastly about power. When it comes to power, how much power does the queen and the king and does King Jesus have? Well, the queen, how much power does she have? Huh? What do you reckon? Not that much. Not that much at all. It's kind of a ceremonial role. Whereas the Son of Man, Jesus, we read in Daniel 7 here, he was given dominion and glory and the kingdom by God. Real power. And that was power which Jesus showed, didn't he, when he was on earth. And he did all sorts of amazing things. Can you give me an example of something Jesus did which showed his power when he's here on earth? Any of the younger ones? What did he do? Yes. He rose from the dead. Wow, that's a powerful thing. The other hand, I can just about say yes. Give me an example. He raised Lazarus from the dead. Yes. He turned the water into wine. Yeah, you're absolutely right. He turned the water into wine. Good. All these amazing things that he did, real power. And just before he returned to heaven, Jesus said this. He said, all authority in heaven and on earth is given to me. At his trial, Jesus said, speaking of his return, he said, one day you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. So, that was our first round. Who do you reckon's won? Queen Elizabeth or King Jesus? We said, well, the Queen, she's got some impressive titles, but Jesus as the Son of Man, wow, actually he is the ruler appointed by God over everyone and everything forever. And if we made a full list of all the titles of Jesus in the Bible, it would be a long list, wouldn't it? We could say he's the Son of God, he's the King of Kings, he's the Lord of Lords, he's the Savior of the world, he's the Alpha and the Omega. It goes on and on, doesn't it? All of a sudden, being Senior of the Swans doesn't sound quite so impressive, does it? We are going to pray together now, because seeing who Jesus really is, it may make us realize that, you know what, we don't treat him the way we should all the time. And this prayer on the sheet and coming up on the screen is an opportunity for us to confess that to God and to ask for his forgiveness. Well, listen to these words of assurance from the Bible. It says, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So we've been thinking about Jesus as the Son of Man, the all-powerful ruler. Daniel told us long ago that this ruler would come. And that is what our next song is about. It's a kid song. I think many of you know this, but just in case you don't, the music group are going to play through the first verse and the chorus, and then we'll all stand and we'll join in together. For our second round, which is going to be a bit shorter, we're going to compare and contrast Queen Elizabeth, King Jesus, and we're going to focus on their serving. And for this round, we're going to start with Jesus, the Son of Man. So, our verse said, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. So, Jesus, the Son of Man, he's the the God-appointed ruler over everyone, over everything, forever. And yet he came to serve. Even the Son of Man, despite who he is, despite his status, he came to serve. Now, usually, important people are served by other people. So usually important people have a whole staff of servants, people who serve them. They've got butlers, they've got all these kinds of stuff. Usually that's what happens, isn't it? Important people, they don't serve others, they are served by them. So we're thinking about service to the Queen. She's got this whole staff of people who serve her. That's what, important people, that's what tends to happen. And Jesus had every right to that, didn't he? To the right, the red carpet, people waiting on him. He had every right to have this big staff of people who would serve his every need. But instead, this verse says he came not to be served, but to serve. One verse in the Bible says this: he made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant. So he served others by meeting their needs. He taught them. He loved them. He healed them. On one occasion, he even washed the dirty feet of his disciples. Yeah, doing only what a slave would do, washing the feet of his disciples. Do you know how that would feel to wash someone else's feet? Actually, washing someone else's feet, he did a fantastic job, but it's quite a humbling thing to do. And it's astonishing, isn't it, that Jesus would have done that for his disciples and even for us. That he was the king he stooped to serve. What a descent. He came from heaven to earth to be born as a baby, grow up in a poor family, live as a servant, and die for us. What a downward trip from the very highest place to the lowliest place. And he is an example to us, isn't he? An example of how we are to behave if we follow him. We're to have, the Bible says, the same attitude of serving. So in Mark 10, it says, Jesus says, whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. So Jesus is our example. And that is an example that the Queen has followed for the past 70 years. So yes, the Queen has a big staff, doesn't she, in the royal household. But she's also used her position as one of service. And although at one level we might say, well, she has a pretty good life, a life of privilege and so on. It's also been a life of duty, a life of service. She hasn't been free just to do what she wants all the time, have a normal private life. Would you have wanted to be queen? I wouldn't have wanted to do that for anything. She's patron or president over 600 charities, other organizations. On her, where do you reckon she is? How old do you reckon she is there? What do you reckon? How old? Give me a, yes. 25 is a good guess. She was 21, actually. This was her 21st birthday, and it was a speech that she broadcast on the radio from Cape Town. And she said, she's speaking to the Commonwealth countries, then she was just Princess Elizabeth, she wasn't queen then, but she said this. Shall I do the accent? Yes. I declare, no, I won't. We won't do the accent. I declare before you all that my whole life, whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service. This was then Christmas broadcast, her first Christmas broadcast as Queen, 1952, she said this. She said, at my coronation next June, I shall dedicate myself anew to your service. And she said this, pray that God may give me wisdom and strength to carry out the solemn promises I shall be making, and that I may faithfully serve him and you all the days of my life. Wow, and that prayer seems to have been answered. How does her serving as Queen compare to that of King Jesus? Well, in her mind, there was no doubt that Jesus was greater. In fact, she very consciously followed his example. So in her Christmas broadcast in 2014, she said this. She said, for me, the life of Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace, whose birth we celebrate today, is an inspiration and an anchor in my life, a role model. In 2016, she said that billions of people now follow Jesus' teaching, and they find in him the guiding light for their lives. I am one of them, she said, because Christ's example helps me see the value of doing small things with great love. Well, let me give you another example. 2010, she said this. She said, at the heart of our faith stand not a preoccupation with our own welfare, our own comfort, but the concepts of service and sacrifice as shown in the life and teachings of the one who made himself nothing, taking the very form of a servant. So as a servant, the queen follows the servant king, as revealed in the Bible. Now, I don't know if you know this, but during her coronation service, she was given various things. And most of them were encrusted with jewels, very expensive jewels, including one of the most valuable diamonds in the world. So in 1905 in South Africa, the largest diamond ever was discovered, and it was named, what was it named? Yes? The Cullinan Diamond. And actually it was so big, they split it into 9 diamonds, numbered 1 to 9. Not very imaginative. There we go. The largest of these ones is called Cullinan One. And this ended up, where do you think this ended up? In what? The Queen's, the Royal Scepter, that thing there on the left of the crown, the Royal Scepter. And it was given to the Queen at the coronation. The largest colourless cut diamond in the world. 530 carats. But the first item presented to her was given with these words. The first thing that was given to her was given with these words. It was said, this is the most valuable thing that this world affords. This is the most valuable thing in the world. What do you think it was that was given to her? That they said, forget about this royal scepter and the Cullinan Diamond. This is the most valuable thing in the whole wide world. It was a Bible, which I don't have one here. But anyway, let's imagine. Thank you, Carlos. What could possibly be more valuable than the Cullinan Diamond? This is, and what the Queen has done is what we are called to do as well. We are to follow Jesus. We're to trust in him, follow his example. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. We're going to sing again about Jesus. So our third round, comparing and contrast, is about sacrifice. So our verse says, even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Now, the Queen has been through some pretty tough times. She once referred to 1992 as what? What did she call 1992? That horrible year. Annus horribilis. Annus horribilis. It's Latin, and it means horrible year. It sounds better in Latin. You should try. If you've had a bad day at school or a bad day at work, when someone asks you, how's it gone? Just say, it has been a dies horribilis. She went on to say, 1992 is not a year on which I shall look back with undiluted pleasure. That's a British way of saying it was a complete nightmare. It has not been a year in which I should look back with undiluted pleasure. Worst year of her life. It was a year in which 3 royal marriages collapsed, a fire destroyed more than 100 rooms in Windsor Castle, a scandal with the Duchess of York hit the headlines. 1992 is not a year on which I should look back with undiluted pleasure. And now, of course, bereaved of her husband of 73 years. But we could say she's had a pretty easy ride compared to King Jesus. The ultimate way Jesus served us was that he gave his life for us. And that involved terrible suffering. So although he was the Son of Man, he allowed himself to be rejected and to be spat upon and to be mocked and to be publicly whipped and then nailed naked to a cross to die in shame. Could you imagine the Queen being treated that way? It's unthinkable, isn't it? It's unimaginable. Dragged out onto the mall, mocked by the jeering crowds, whipped, nailed to a cross, left to die. I mean, it's unthinkable, isn't it? But Jesus went through this willingly. He did it for us, for our sake. He gave, it says, his life as a ransom for many. So his death was the payment to rescue us from the domain of darkness, from slavery to sin, from the judgment we deserve. And in love, he died in our place. And he took on himself the judgment we deserve. And he did it so we can be forgiven. We can come to know God as our friend. He died that we might have life. He died that we might have life. Now, lots of foreign guests came to the coronation service. Came from all over the world. And there was this big, big meal that was laid on for them after the service. And one of the dishes has since been known as coronation chicken. Correct. Now, maybe somebody's brought this for the Bring and Share lunch afterwards. Has anyone brought any coronation chicken? It would have been appropriate. What's the recipe? Anyone? What's the recipe for coronation chicken? Tell me what's in it. Don't say chicken. We've got that. What else is in apart from the chicken?
Coronation dressing.
Curry. Yeah, you get it in a packet. Yeah. What's that?
Lettuce.
Yep. There's lettuce there. Okay, so there we go. We've got, basically, it's cold chicken in curry sauce. Now, when you eat coronation chicken, you enjoy a meal because a chicken has given its life. You ever think about that when you eat coronation chicken? Think, well, I'm enjoying this meal because this chicken has died. It's given its life for me to enjoy this meal. And it's the same with Jesus. He is the chicken, basically, isn't he? He's the chicken. That he gave his life so that we might enjoy not just a meal, but rescue and eternal life with God. Now, as we close, how are we going to respond to this? What are we going to do? Let me just read you something. So during her message to the Commonwealth in 2011, the Queen said this. I want you to give a score. If this was a GCSE exam, you know they score them 0 to 9. What score would you give this? She said, although we are capable of great acts of kindness, history teaches us that sometimes we need saving from ourselves. From our recklessness and our greed, God sent into the world a unique person, neither a philosopher nor a general, important though they are, but a savior with the power to forgive. Forgiveness lies at the heart of the Christian faith. What do you reckon? What would you give of that? If you were marking, if you were an examiner, would you give her a 9? Would you give her I give her a 6 or 7. Yeah, I think so. So she's bang on, isn't she, that we are sinful and we do need saving. But we don't just need saving from our sin, but from God's judgment. We don't just need saving from ourselves. We need saving from the judgment of God. She's right, though, that in Jesus, God has sent us the Savior, the rescuer we need so we can be forgiven. So we'll give her a 6 or 7 for that. It was pretty good. The Son of Man gave his life as a ransom for many. And the question I want to leave you with is, are you one of the many? If he gave his life as a ransom for many, are you one of them? The Queen is. Certainly sounds like it, doesn't it? She's accepted she needs the death of Jesus as the ransom payment to set her free. Sounds like she's one of the many. Are you? And if not, why not become one of the many by receiving Jesus as your rescuer and living with him as your ruler? Both are necessary. Did you know that during her 70 years, the Queen has ruled over 32 countries? 17 of them have now removed her from that position. Yeah? And the latest country to do that, the latest country to remove the Queen as head of state was, which country, don't shout out, young person, which flag is this? Which country is this the flag of? Yes, at the back?
Barbados.
Fantastic. So November last year, Barbados became the world's newest republic, removed the Queen as head of state after almost 400 years, and in the ceremony, they took down the royal standard flag and replaced it. Now, you might say, well, good on Barbados, you know. Maybe many of us think it's high time countries took this step. But it's different with King Jesus, isn't it? That he is our rightful ruler, and if we reject his rule, if we take down his flag, we can't be part of his kingdom now or in eternity. Let me just read you what the Queen said in a message to Barbados. She said this, I look forward to the continuation of the friendship between our two countries and peoples. Now, it ain't like that with King Jesus, is it? We can't sort of lower his flag, reject his rule, and expect we're just going to stay friends. It doesn't work like that. With King Jesus, it's more like an act of treason. He is the rightful ruler over us, and he invites us to receive him as our king and enjoy the blessing of living with him as our rescuer and ruler. So this Jubilee weekend, we give thanks for Queen Elizabeth for her many, many years of service of us, But we also, and we especially, give thanks for King Jesus, the Son of Man who came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many.